Hey friend, I'm Tanisha Sela, and you're listening to the Life of an Empath podcast. I'm an empath, Akashic Records reader, and intuitive guide. I'm exactly what you would expect a modern day mystic to be. I meditate, I'm a crystal lover, sporadic yogi, and I believe in love and universal goodness. I help high level creatives, empaths, and teams achieve emotional clarity and allow them to utilize intuition as business strategy. On this podcast, I share stories about my personal spiritual journey, the lessons that I'm learning through my clients, and life as a wife and mom of two toddlers. Welcome to my life. Let's get started. On today's episode, we have Luann Whatley-Belk. Lou is a rising birth educator and the writer and creator of WellWorthWatering.com. It's a blog and a community that centers the maternal health stories of Black women and basically highlights her life and her professional journey. She uses her blog not only to challenge herself to use her voice and creativity, but to nourish the Black women in the Black maternal healthcare space. So today we're going to be talking about a Black woman's roadmap, an intuitive guide to a holistic birthing experience. And I'm so excited. Lou, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be having this conversation.
I'm excited to have you here. This is very exciting. I think this is so needed, right? Timely to be talking about Black women and especially highlighting us not just in our daily interactions with race, right, but also in a very specific way, in a very specific way that needs greater awareness, and that for sure is the Black maternal space. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. We are in the middle of a global pandemic. Right. And in this country in particular, we are in the middle of a lot of upheaval. But the interesting thing is we really have been pulling back the layers of what control over our lives and situations look like. And I think that it is timely to address what a holistic birthing experience looks like and feels like for Black birthing parents, because, you know, when you really think about all of the uncertainty happening right now, and you begin to center the fact that babies are still being born, right? You really begin to understand what you need and what you and your baby and your birthing family need to thrive. So this is a very timely conversation. I'm excited to have it with you.
Yay! So let's start at the beginning. A lot of my listeners have heard my birthing story and know what my first pregnancy was like and what it wasn't like. It definitely was not as picturesque or dreamy as I would have hoped it to be. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to be talking about how you can have a more ideal pregnancy and a birth experience. So let's get started with defining how holistic birthing, well, like what it is and what we need to do before we get pregnant. So what is the definition of holistic birthing?
Well, if you look at holistic, right, the word, and just take it real simple, we see the interconnection of the mind, the body, and the spirit. And so when you think about holistic birth, it really is taking a step back and considering, you know, what is the state of your mindset going into this process of becoming a new parent or adding a child to your family? What is the state of your health, right, physically, and what challenges do we face specifically as Black women and Black birthing people that can raise our risk factor in and out of the medical system, right? And I'll jump into that a little bit more later in the conversation. And then, of course, the big one that I'm glad is getting resurgence now, the spirit, right? I think a lot of, in my opinion, the standard medical system really does not address the spirit and the mind aspect of birthing. I think that's been completely removed. And as I said, it's coming back, right? Because when we look at a lot of the work that's happening in our communities around midwives and doulas, we really see them bringing back frankly, an ancestral connection to what it means to birth and what it means to approach birth in a holistic way that takes into account all three of those things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the spiritual aspect is truly important. I think we are bringing back midwives and doulas, but not quickly enough, right?
Yeah.
Because when you think about a holistic birth, it's supposed to be a less invasive process. And in that, we're supposed to be relying on more than just our body and just the mechanics of a medical doctor, the Western medicine effect, right? You begin to rely on your spiritual foundation and your intuition. And in this more holistic approach, you give yourself an opportunity as a woman to experience your divinity through this very basic function, right? This very ancient mystical circumstance that is our procreation.
Right.
But in our Western aspect, right, we forget about this, and we don't have enough support, and especially as Black women, we are not able to be honest about the support that we need, and sometimes that's not just within the medical setting, right? That's also within our own families and with our own situation. So I feel that holistic aspects of your birth are critical when it comes to the spiritual aspect because, you know, there's a natural fluctuation of your emotional landscape throughout pregnancy. And that's not just because you're a first-time mom, because as a second-time mom, you know, every pregnancy is different, right?
Yep.
So when we consider a holistic approach, we are giving ourselves an opportunity at emotional clarity and setting ourselves and our new baby up for a beautiful fresh start. But somebody out there is probably asking themselves right now as they're listening, why are we signaling out Black mothers in particular here? Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So we're singling out Black mothers because Black women are, and you know, it's interesting, this statistic sadly has been repeated so many times, but it can never have enough power when said, right? Black women, so you and I, Tanisha, as Black women, are 4 times as likely to die in birth or as a result of complications in postpartum than our white counterparts. There is a particular statistic that says the more educated, the more accomplished a Black woman is actually her risk factor is higher than a white woman with a high school diploma, right?
Staggering.
So the fact that we put emphasis on the holistic birthing experience for Black women is not only timely, but I think just, right? When we take a step back further and remove race from it, the way we do birth in this country really is, as you said, removing the spirit and putting all of the trust on the medical system. And while I per se don't completely throw like the baby out with the bathwater, we really have to look at the origins of how birth became to be this way in this country, period. And when you dig under that and you look at particularly home births being not abolished, but just completely falling away from the norm and being transferred to the hospital setting, you really begin to see a lot of Black women being completely written out of that, right? Some parts of this country, they're the granny midwives, as we call them, the granny midwives, the grandmothers, the women that were really responsible for bringing new life into the world, who, by the way, had to do that because we as Black women couldn't go to hospitals. Eventually became outlawed. It was against the law for them to practice and do what they did for so many generations. So I single out Black women because, first of all, we deserve a beautiful, whole birthing experience. And I want to just say this, Tanisha, just surviving birth is not enough.
Right.
So when we define what a holistic birth experience is for a Black woman, that birthing parent just coming out of that experience alive and with their baby alive is not enough. That's baseline, in my opinion, because when you look at the experience a lot of us are having, there's a lot of trauma wrapped around that. There's a lot of implicit and unconscious bias in the experiences in our prenatal care. There's a lot of ignoring of the pain that we may be experiencing afterward. Very notably, Serena Williams had that experience in her postpartum where she literally had to diagnose her own, I believe it was a pulmonary embolism.
Yes.
So the great Serena Williams, right? So I single out Black women because of the statistics, and it is a just and right thing to do for not only us to advocate and educate and create community and covering for ourselves, but to stand up to the system that truly was never created for us to thrive, right? For many women to not thrive, but especially not us, mm-hmm. to say to them, we deserve this. And while you get your stuff together, we are also going to continue to do the work we've been doing for so long.
Right. I mean, these statistics like literally take me out every time I hear them because I know what they are. And I'm familiar with the awareness that we need to have when we are going through the birth process. But every time you hear it, it's just crazy. And it just always takes me back to my experience because I, being an educated Black woman that had insurance and definitely went to the doctor for the initial pregnancy test and for the, you know, as early as 8 weeks, I think that's the first time you start going and getting the regular checks. And it was just such a thing. It was very mechanical. I never felt like I could be honest about how I was really feeling, like what I was really going through. There was such a disconnect with that whole process. And I would try to talk to my mother about it. And, you know, I realized in this, my mom being a baby boomer and a Black woman that grew up in the 50s in the South, she was very disconnected, very disconnected. And, you know, I talked to her just yesterday about this, and I was asking her, Mom, is it possible that you were very naive going into the process and that you just completely gave your power away? And that's why you felt that everything was going okay and going to be okay, because you didn't have any agency in the process because you gave it away all to, you know, the white doctor in the 80s that was, you know, the whoever was attending, you know, my birth and my brother's birth, right?
Right.
But she was very disconnected from the concept of postpartum. She said, I didn't experience that, you know, and, you know, we don't, right? She said, we don't, like, talking about the women on her side of the family experience that. We don't go through that. And it was very, it was shocking to experience that with her. And I won't say that I had, an extensive postpartum situation or anything like that, but I do know that I felt very uncomfortable, when they would do the depression and anxiety check when we were during the checkup process, throughout the prenatal care. And I never felt like at any point I could be honest about what I was really feeling or what I was really experiencing, even when I had some Black doctors. I felt like the person that I interacted with the most was the white nurse practitioner. Did you take your vitamins? You know, you have to do this, you know, have to do that. And I'm like, I'm wondering, do I need to write down that I did, you know, not only have a third grade education, but I do, you know, have a degree, you know, and, you know, because I felt like she was talking down with me. And what I've learned since then is that we are less likely to have someone to be raw about our experience with. And I know this from my personal experience, but I was actually surprised when I was reading We Live for the We. Have you read that by Danny McLean?
Yes, definitely. I'm rereading it actually.
Girl, it changed my life. And I didn't realize, I was so happy like 3 years late, right? But to be validated in the fact that we don't have people that we can be raw with. And the entire book was such an eye-opener, and something that I not only wish that was available before I got pregnant, but something that I would recommend to all Black mothers, because it's so much to consider at every stage of the process. But I'm telling you, the first chapter of that book was just like, we don't have people that we can talk to. That's another reason to single out Black mothers. And to highlight just the survival mode that it puts us in. And, you know, I never felt throughout my pregnancy that I was having that idealistic pregnancy that you have on, like, in the movies, in TV, right? Like, I wasn't having that type of experience. I was always anxious whenever I went to the doctor. I didn't know what was going to come next. Obviously, I was high risk because I was 35. I didn't know that I was going to be considered geriatric and all the emotions and whatnot that come with that. So when you talk about holistic experience, I feel like considering a holistic approach should be mandatory for Black women in this country. Does that make sense? Like, it should be something that we have direct access to. Like, it shouldn't just be the medical doctors, but because of all of the ways in which we have been forced to perceive motherhood and to show up in motherhood, we just need an extra layer. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
I do. I mean, all of the things that you are saying really resonate with the reason why I started Well Worth Watering. The name Well Worth Watering suggests we are worth it, and we are a well, right, of love and covering and information, and we need to actively water ourselves. So the point that you made about you being shocked at how disconnected your mother was from her experience, I'm sure everyone can tell a story like that about either their mom or women in their family. I felt the same with my mom, and was actually very surprised to, on the flip side, hear how open she was to the idea of home birth, because I had my second child at home, right? So the covering and the fortifying that we need, right, is immense, not just right now, but I just think as we progress into the future. And I want to say that the point that you made about the mental health aspect, can we just hone in on that for a second? It's so important. There was a Philadelphia Inquirer article that I read several months back that talked about the same thing that you resonated with, Tanisha, with moms not being honest when they get the interview or the scales, when you have to check off, you know, are you feeling sad? How many times have you cried?
Yes.
How many times have you felt joy? You know, one of the problems with some of those tools is that they are culturally insensitive, right? Because some of the things that they're asking is like, I don't really have these outlet as a Black woman. You know, it's they are not made to make you feel comfortable. And I think I hope it's not a reach me saying this, but I feel like, you know, culturally, we tend to open up more when we trust people and we feel that they really have our best interest at heart. So as you said with your nurse, if you feel like she is condescending to you, if you feel like she really doesn't have a vested interest in you thriving and your new baby thriving, if you feel like there's apathy, then you're not going to open up to her. You're not going to tell her the truth. You feel judged. You feel unloved. So why would you tell the truth about you crying as soon as the baby is out of sight, or crying while breastfeeding, or why would you open up? So the work that needs to be done, that is happening, and there's so many amazing organizations that are doing that kind of work. The one that comes to forefront of my mind is holding, it's a campaign that basically says we need to hold the mother. Everyone's holding the baby. Who's holding the mother?
Absolutely.
It's so critical. It's so critical. We're not opening up. We, as you said, in the We Live for the We book, we don't feel validated. We don't feel listened to. We feel like, where do I really go? And that is why community is so essential. It's really a big goal for me with Well Worth Watering, to just create another space where we feel like we will be listened to. We will be validated. We don't even have to think about it. It's assumed that we will be held.
Right, right, for sure. I think we're on to a lot of important things. And it's funny because when you talk about the white nurse practitioner, you know, I didn't even notice it at first. I didn't even know that that was something that I was doing until the days that I would get the black nurse practitioner. And I would find myself being more open with her instantly. I mm-hmm. felt that she cared about me. I could just feel it in her eyes, you know, that she was just, you know, I could see it, I could feel it, that I was loved. And I didn't even think about that as a part of the process that we needed to consider, that we do need to be loved through the process. But intuition, now, you know, I think intuition plays a role in all the things. But how do you feel intuition shows up in the pregnancy and birthing process? How should it show up?
Wow, that's a wonderful question. So when we think about pregnancy and birthing in the model that it is right now, there is no understanding the knowledge that you bring to the table that is not book knowledge, right? And so when I think about intuition, I think trust. I think understanding that you are a part of an experience that has been happening since millennia. I think about really like sinking in to your body and your mind and really trying to understand how you can come through this process transformed. And I think that for me, that was the biggest differences between my first and second birth. I came in similar to you, wanting a, you know, beautiful non-medicated birth, and I thought that I would get that in the hospital setting with the things that I had, right? Like I had a doula and I had taken a couple classes, but when you think about intuition and the role it plays in birthing, it was completely removed from mine. And I think that the role it plays is understanding that you have to trust your body to do what it will do. Understanding that advocating for yourself and having people on your team to advocate for you if you're not in the position to do so is a big piece of that. And, you know, again, back to my experiences, I wanted a specific outcome without trusting my intuition and my body. And so that resulted in me, I didn't come through with trauma or anything like that, but I wasn't satisfied with my experience. I ended up getting an epidural that didn't work. And interestingly enough, I was forced to rely on my intuition, right? Because I came into the process thinking it was going to be a certain way. And honestly, Tanisha, like, from I think the middle of that pregnancy, my intuition told me that I shouldn't have been in the hospital setting. My intuition told me at several appointments that my OB was not the right OB for me. When I didn't listen, mm-hmm. I did not listen, right? And so I just kept going along and I was like, no, I have to trust them because I don't really trust myself that much, right? Mm-hmm. So when I was induced and in the hospital, I was like, okay, we're going through this. I ended up shutting down because on the education aspect, I didn't realize that induced birth has a higher rate of, it ends in a higher rate of cesarean because when you create those false contractions using the Pitocin, that's usually what they use. Mm-hmm. Not only are the contractions more intense, but they don't give that natural rest action phase that natural contractions
go
through. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So I just completely hit a wall and I was like, I can't do this no more. Let me get the epidural, which I did. But interestingly, and I think back and I smile. Everyone can't see me smiling, but hopefully they can hear it. I smile because I'm so grateful for the intuition that I still got in that process. Because I ended up getting the epidural and it was just enough to take the edge off so that I could rest. So when I finally discovered it wasn't working completely, I could still feel every contraction on one side of my uterus, I was like, what's happening? And they were like, oh, you know, some people have a window, you know, we can take it out and put it back in. And my intuition was like, nope, not today. I'm going to do this. I came this far. It was like something other than me was speaking and acting. Mm-hmm. But it was me. And it was my intuition. And I was finally trusting myself. So I labored the rest of the way, and my doula helped flip me from side to side, because when you have an epidural, you can't move around the way you can in an unmedicated birth, because you literally have this tube, you know, attached to your spine, and also you can't walk. Right? So it came back, like my intuition came back. It was like it sank back into me, and I understood the goal in this is not perfection. The goal is to come through this experience transformed and learning and believing in something new about yourself. And that happened for me. And I'm so grateful that it happened the way it did, because guess what? The next time when I became pregnant again, I said to myself, I know what I want now. I know what I need now. And I fully trust that my intuition is going to get me the outcome that I'm hoping for. Right. And so that resulted in me making different decisions. I wasn't making decisions out of fear. Right. I was choosing a team that, again, would really love on me and water me the way I needed to be. The education I thought I had about the birthing process with my daughter, totally different. It was a whole different ballgame with my son. So I see intuition as an integral part of birth, pregnancy, postpartum. Right?
Yes.
It's huge.
Yes. Everything you said, like, right there with you. Like, I completely, like, I feel like in some way, like, we had similar experiences the first time around. But, you know, the thing about it is, for me, being so connected, like, that little voice was right there all along. But when you are under the influence of these doctors, it's really hard to speak out against that, because you're like, yes, you know, I know what I feel, you know, and I know I'm feeling him, like in my case, you know, picking up other people's energies. But at the same time, it's like, it's hard to go against that. You know, I'm thinking, I keep replaying all of the things that they've been feeding me all of this time. Oh, you're over 35. Oh, you're high risk. Oh, you need a high risk doctor. Oh, we need more blood work. Oh, we need more this. So I'm thinking, how do I challenge them, even though I know that this baby is going to be okay? And if you listen to my first episode about the birth, you know, I had that one and only vision. I knew she was going to be okay, because I knew I saw her coming out, you know, as a result of me being on my hands and knees, you know, but I just didn't even trust that enough anymore, because they were feeding me all of these things. But what I hope for other Black women is that they know that it can start an intuition. Like, you don't need to rely on this intuition or this vision or this moment to come to you, but having intuitive guidance can be a start and a finish to your process, you know,
absolutely,
in the fourth and fifth trimester, right? Because you need to feel connection to the baby. One of the things that I felt as we started to get into trouble, that 36th week, and as her amniotic fluid started to leave, was that I started to feel disconnected from her, because I was like, you know, she's not going to make it. And it's like, I was already in this survival mode, which I wouldn't have even called it that at that time. Right. But what I know now is that I was already in survival mode, and then to survive something happening to her, potentially, I needed to disconnect from her in some way, and I was kind of getting mad at everything. But what would it have looked like if I had someone to hold more emotional space for me, versus just the very, I don't know, very basic things, I guess, that my mom was telling her, oh, why don't you just sing to the baby? Why don't you try to stimulate her like that? Why don't you just rub your belly more? I remember her saying that when I was taking one of the final non-stress tests, and I was like, sing, like, what, like, are, you know, are we, am I getting admitted? Are we getting out of here? Is something going to happen to her? Is she going to be hooked up to machines? You know, that was the merry-go-round that I was on in my head. And I feel like, you know, I wish that I could have shown up as me, like a separate part of me to hold space for myself emotionally. Do you know what I mean? I wish that in the emotional clarity that I offer my clients and I take them through, you know, one problem that they have and explore all of the different emotions, what would it have looked like for somebody to come and explore? Or are you feeling guilt? What is the anxiety related to, you know, what, how are you not showing up in truth for yourself here? Those type of things. And I think that we look back at intuition in hindsight a lot of the times. And I would like for Black mothers to know that they can be armed with their intuition in foresight and through another person. And it doesn't always have to rely on you just because we're talking about, you know, intuition. And I think our disconnect from spirituality sometimes doesn't allow for all the possibilities that are available to us.
Yeah.
And how somebody could just be on the phone with you 1,000 miles away and know exactly what you're experiencing, exactly what you need to hear, exactly what is going to move that energy for you so that you can show up in clarity. And then that in itself reactivates your own intuition, right? Yes. So
no, I agree 100%. I see that intuitive role as an integral part of the team. So we talk about possible midwives that, by the way, deliver in and out of the hospital setting.
Yep.
We talk about doulas. We talk about lactation consultants. But the idea of an intuitive guide is completely like, ooh, what's that, right? But for all of the reasons that we just mentioned, someone there to hold space for you, someone there to help you access that part of you that knows. Or maybe doesn't know and needs some nudging in the right direction, right? Someone to be able to make sure you're not making decisions out of fear. So that if you are feeling fearful, you can sit and say, well, what is this fear trying to tell me? Do I need to get more information? Am I having a funny feeling about this person, this medical person's intentions? What is the fear telling me? And, you know, I think that there are a lot of doulas, awesome Black doulas and doulas of color and doulas, you know, white doulas too, that hold that kind of space. But that role that you're bringing really is essential because it digs into a place that I feel like we haven't considered enough in life, and especially not in birthing, not just birthing, but because I think this is sort of a caveat. I think when we talk about birth, we think about like maybe pre-pregnancy, pregnancy, the actual delivery, and that's it, right? But I'm talking about pregnancy to 6 months and possibly a little bit longer. That whole spectrum, what does that look like? What are the changes that we go through that we could gain so much value from by having an intuitive guide to help us process those feelings?
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think more than process, foster connection too, because at every stage that you're talking about, I'm thinking about how you connect, you know. When you're pre-pregnancy, you're trying to connect with the concept of what it'll be like to be pregnant. When you get pregnant, you're trying to connect with the concept of what your child will be like when you can finally see their face, you know, when you can finally hold them. We're talking about afterwards when you feel like vacant feeling and all you've had is this, you know, person in your belly, and now they're like a real person and you're taking care of a whole nother person. And that postpartum period when you start to feel like, what body am I even in, you know? So connection, I think, is really important. And, you know, with the Akashic Records specifically, you know, it's all about purpose with a person, purpose with, you know, your own soul purpose. So it's like when you're talking about purpose, you're talking about connection to something or someone. And I think that has infinite possibilities for all of us at any stage of our lives, but especially when we're talking about caring for another human being.
Absolutely.
But I could talk about intuition all day. What the people want to know is, what are the current shortcomings with how Black women view birth today, and how did we get here? What do you think?
So I think that Black women, if you ask Black women as a whole how they view birth, I think you would get a lot of different perspectives. So I shy away from giving like a blanket answer, but I think that every Black woman would resonate with the fact that we don't feel completely seen and validated with the standard birth that is the case in this country, right? One of the biggest shortcomings is that we are not understanding the transformation, the opportunity for transformation in this experience, because we are so inundated with the outcomes that we see for ourselves. So we come into the process afraid. Mm-hmm. And I just mentioned, you know, making decisions out of fear is detrimental. You said it yourself in your own experiences. Their doctors are telling you this and they're making you feel terribly old, which, you know, the term geriatric, it's so sad. But one of the biggest things that I think that we can capitalize on right now is seeking out, celebrating, and connecting with the community-led organizations and collectives that are coming out of this drought that we find ourselves in, right? They are out there and they are ready and willing to help and educate us. I mean, that was one of the reasons why I decided to start Well Worth Watering, with not only the hopes of sharing our stories and creating that validating that we need and that community that we need, and there can never be enough of those, right? But really helping to share those resources for the women that need them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's important. I feel like we really don't understand all of our options. I think for some people, for some women, it is particularly harder for them to seek out resources that you really do have to dig to find, though.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
With the women that I work with and come across, I mean, a lot of women are dealing with just regular anxiety, you know, just day to day, not just with pregnancy, or struggling with self-esteem and struggling with confidence issues. And with those type of situations, it doesn't make you confident to seek out options, you know, and I think that we don't believe that we have enough options to consider. We need to normalize our birth experience so that we know that these are the places that we go to. Do you know what I mean? Like, what if it was normal to get a doctor or a midwife, automatically get a doula, automatically have a birth educator, automatically have an intuitive guide all built into the process? Then that would be, you know, that would be better, so that we wouldn't have to seek out so much. Like, we have to seek out too much. And I'm not sure that we just don't advocate for ourselves as much throughout the process as we should. And that just goes back to what we said about intuition. You know, we don't trust ourselves, so we defer to the healthcare team. And I'm not even really sure why we got away from midwives, you know, as the standard to begin with, other than just the healthcare industry needing to dominate. And that is what funds that industry, like making it, you know, mandatory for you to be supervised by a doctor as a midwife, or, you know, just taking that experience out. But it's still crazy to me that, like, being from the South, you can't even find a midwife in the South. That's just crazy to me.
Yeah, the history there is rich. If your listeners ever want to do the research, the history there is very rich, because when you think about how babies were born across the board, you know, in the 1800s or since the beginning of time, they were born in homes, right? But as we progressed, it became, as you said, the medical system began to take over. And let me just say that system was dominated by white males, one of which in particular conducted his, I don't even know what to call them, horrific experiments on Black slaves. Wow. So that's why I say that, you know, really doing the research and finding out what the root of modern day gynecology and obstetrics is very revealing. But when we think about how it transitioned, it became, I'm having a, I'm a little bit more higher class when I have my baby in the hospital, and I'm not even talking about Black women yet, just women in general.
Right.
Now I'm having a better experience. So then you saw more women moving into that space. And while that was happening and while the domination was happening, these Black midwives and what they did, their work literally became like criminalized, specifically in the South.
Yes.
So, you know, it's really insidious. I can't find another word for it. So then you see the loss of, as you said, this handing down from mother to daughter and generations of this like knowledge and this comfort and safety of, you know, I know there's a granny midwife in my community, right? I don't have to go too far to find it. We got separated from that.
You know, it's crazy because, you know, talking to you about this, it almost feels like you need a degree in gynecology to survive your birth experience. You know, like all of these things that you need to know is just crazy in how we've gotten here. And, you know, it's just like everything else in the world today. You can't believe that it's 2020 and you have to seek out options that are under a rock somewhere regarding something that is so ancient and that should have progressed, but not progressed in a way that feels that we have so narrow of an option to do that in a time like, you know, 2020. But one of the things that I was thinking about for this question specifically about how we have gotten here and what are the shortcomings, I think, considering my personal experience, I believe we're too dependent on the help that we think we'll receive when giving birth. I certainly didn't have the support I thought I would, even though I had moved all the way across the country for it. but it was a constant dance with my mom, with especially after the baby was born, with giving us enough space and then her offering help and getting complicated, like not wanting to be too much with my husband or whatnot. And that speaks to so many other things. But I was talking to a friend and she experienced something similar. Like, I think that, you know, we are definitely stronger than we know and we need less support than we think that we need at the same time. Do you know what I mean? Like, I thought that my mom was going to be every single thing for me. Do you know what I mean? At the end of the birth, but she didn't. So, you know, that doula that I wish I could have found in the South, that was going to look like my grandmother and come and do all the things and give me all the knowledge. You know, I just think that
or a best friend.
I just think we need to get clear on that, because I think when you think about, you know, our view of birth and how we got here, it is about that oral thing. And I thought that was going to be a fixture. Like, I thought my mom was going to be a fixture, and she absolutely was not a fixture. So we do need to have other options. I mean, do we need the help? We need all the help that we can get. I'm not saying that we don't need help, but we don't need to be committed to how that help shows up, right? Like, because it can manifest in many different ways. And I think my internal dialogue was, have a baby, mom's going to be there indefinitely. Mom's going to cook, mom's going to do this, mom's going to tell me all the things that I need to know, and that didn't happen. So If I had to do it all over again, I would revisit that story that I had going on in my head. Does that make sense?
It does. But really quick question for you. Did you discuss with your mom your expectations of what you assumed would be your postpartum support?
I didn't, because I assumed yeah, that she was going to be there, because plan A was, you know, when we were in Maryland, was that she was going to come up for several weeks and she would have been a fixture because she would have been staying with us. But when that turned into plan B and I moved back down to the South, she was, you know, 11 minutes away. So obviously I thought, well, I mean, maybe it's not obvious. Don't assume, people. Don't assume. But obviously I thought that she was going to be right there. And I definitely didn't think there was going to be a dance with boundaries and whatnot. You know, obviously I needed my mom to show me how to be a mom and how to take care of this little baby. And I didn't have that. It was complicated. It was more complicated than I thought it was going to be. So,
yeah. I ask because I think that a lot of us have those same assumptions. So don't feel bad for assuming. All of us have those same assumptions. But, you know, going back to that intuitive role and the role of intuition in this process, and going back to what it means to have a holistic experience, really sinking into, well, what am I going to need? What do I even think I'm going to need? Because oftentimes, like, especially if you have your first baby, you're so overwhelmed with the reality versus like what you thought it was going to be. Like, I knew it was going to be hard, but this is hard, right? Really sitting down and thinking about what you need, who's going to bring you food, who's going to help you do, you know, it's a lot. And I think we really do have to ask ourselves that question. You know, for me, same experience with you. I had my daughter, she's my first, and my mom, you know, it was like she was going to come down. She wasn't as close as yours was, but she came down with me for a week. And when I look back, I'm like, man, I wish I had a stronger voice, because I would have been like, I need you to be here for 3 weeks. I need you to be here for 3 weeks. And then with my son, you know, she said to me, well, you've been through it. You've been through it once. Like, you good, right? She was literally asking me, like, you've been through it once. Like, you know the rigmarole. Never mind, I have 2 whole children now. Never mind any of that. Never mind. It doesn't matter if it's your first or your 10th. Moms need that support. They need that. Even if it's people taking shifts, if possible, right? And again, the intuition left and I said, yeah, you're right. I'll be good. Because I didn't ask for what I needed. And, you know, my recovery with my son physically felt faster, but emotionally, oh, Tanisha, it was rougher. It was rougher because I needed that community. I needed, as you said, to get on the phone with someone to help validate those feelings I was feeling. I couldn't really get much of that from my friends, because at the end of the day, they want what's best for me and they don't want to see me in pain, but they don't really understand. So we have to make it known, because even looking back, I would have asked more deliberate things of my friends, asked more deliberate things of my mom and my family. And I wouldn't have felt any guilt for asking. Again, that role of intuitive. Understand what you're feeling and don't feel ashamed, especially not as a new mom. No role for shame.
Yeah. I think that's interesting because, yeah, you know, when you instantly said that, I was like, yeah, setting the expectations and having those conversations. Sounds like something I would do in every other thing, but I'm remembering my mom, you know, acting like it was nothing. Like, this is what you're supposed to do.
Be strong, right?
We don't have that. And I thought it would make me look weak.
Yes.
If I needed more than what she was offering. So every time she came over and offered, you know, an hour or 30 minutes or just dropped off something and left, I accepted it and I didn't complain because I did not want to look like I couldn't do it. And I think that is how some women, many women, get caught up in postpartum to begin with, just that resistance of pushing down their feelings. And when you are, you know, isolated alone on that island with those emotions, you are disconnected from everything else that is real and true. So I definitely think that we've touched on what we're moving into next, and that's the 5 to 10 things that women who are trying to get pregnant should be doing. And I would say number one is be clear about what's going to happen and have clear agreements, boundaries, and get your expectations vocalized as you are about to go into this process. I mean, even before you get pregnant, I think that's the perfect time to really be clear on, you know, what you want it to look like, even if it doesn't, you know, have a plan, I guess.
Yes.
I'm saying. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about the birth plan. I feel like the birth plan has gotten a lot of like notoriety over the past couple of years, but there is a wonderful midwife in the Black birthing community, Shafia Monroe, that really digs into the holistic birth plan and really considering all of the things that you lay out there. What are my options? Do I want an OB? Do I want a midwife? Do I want to birth at a birthing center? Do I want to birth at home? You know, do I want to be at the hospital? There's so many different things to include there, including the postpartum care plan, right? Including beautiful rituals like blessing ways, right? Which, you know, just again, make the mother feel watered and loved and covered. So absolutely, it's the birth plan. But understanding that the plan is a guide and it's not a hard and fast document to then look back on and say, oh, I failed because I didn't achieve and I didn't check off these things. That's really important to mention.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when you're trying to get pregnant, I think exploring your options before you get pregnant, when you're trying to get pregnant, explore those options ahead of time. I think get mentally and physically prepared. I was thinking about this and I was thinking you need to clear up any family things you have going on, because I think that was central to what was going on between me and my mom, you know, clearing up any family patterns, any existing issues that are going to make things awkward. Or that are going to be potentially damaging. Obviously, you want to think about your association to drinking alcohol, any vices or whatever that you have before you get pregnant. Definitely, I think, identify your sources of support. But I was thinking, you know, everybody thinks about when they're pregnant, getting super rigid about their exercise and all that type of stuff. But I say you need to get clear on your exercise, your yoga, your meditation, your spiritual practice, all of that as you're trying to conceive. And then as you're pregnant, then you can put your focus on other things. What do you think the focus is for when you're actually pregnant? What are the top five things you could be doing?
Definitely a focus on what you're putting into your body. So not just clearing up the vices, but the quality of the food that you're getting, which I know can be a tough thing for a lot of women in the Black community, because a lot of us are in food deserts, right? But with what is available to you, thinking about how can I make the best of what is available to me, right? When we think about our high prevalence in preeclampsia, which is a blood pressure related issue, we want to think about, you know, the salt intake and all those things. The other thing that I want to mention is making sure that we understand the connection between our self-worth. So I guess this goes into, you know, mental, clearing up mental clutter. Understand the self-worth weaknesses that we might have. And I'm giving this tip just from my experience, because you need to understand that this is an opportunity for transformation. This is a blessing that you're going through, and really, really believe in that. The thing that's interesting about your question is currently for women that are pregnant, they're living through a pandemic, right? They're living through, particularly as Black women, more social upheaval and seeing these images of our people suffering. Turn it off. Please, turn it off. Be so mindful of what you're consuming. I mentioned food, but be mindful of what you're consuming through your eyes and your ears. You need to surround this new life inside of you with overwhelming amounts of positivity and affirmation, which leads me to my next tip, which is make a habit of doing affirmations for yourself. There are a lot of ones that you can find, but I find that the best affirmation set is the one that you make for yourself that's specific to you and your needs. Yeah. For my son's home birth, I ended up doing a lot of affirmations that made me feel confident and powerful, right? Another thing that is, I guess, somewhat pandemic related is just being mindful of the isolation factor, because a lot of us, you know, are home and have to be so for the long haul. What ways do you have to connect to people so that you're not feeling that social and emotional isolation? What are going to be the ways postpartum? Obviously, people tend to be very protective of their newborns outside of pandemic, now even more so. But what are ways virtually you can connect to you know, online support and making sure maybe you have like little check-in appointments with people that call you and check in on you, not to annoy you, but just to support you. So those would be my tips.
Those are really great tips. Because when I was thinking about this, I'm thinking like globally, but yes, we are in a pandemic. Like I can't just think about this like it's any other time, right?
Yeah.
Pandemic, and there are some very unique challenges that mothers will experience, and I think it can be all that more isolating, and isolating is not good when you think about the Black maternal experience, because it's already isolating when things are completely normal. So that's very important. One thing that we haven't touched on, though, is the role of the partner, if there is one, in a holistic birth. What is the role of the partner or the co-parent?
The role of the partner is to stand in the gap for you, of protecting this experience for you. And, you know, I think that for the partner, there can be so much transformation for them too. Speaking from personal experiences, you know, my husband is so grateful for the experience he had to be a part of the experience with my home birth versus the hospital birth we had with my daughter. My hospital birth felt so, he said he felt like a bystander. He felt like, you know, when I broke down and I couldn't go any further, and the labor comfort techniques that he had learned weren't working anymore, he felt helpless and disconnected, and I think a large part disengaged. Versus my home birth, he was an integral part of that, right? I think that this is just how I birth, but I tend to be like that deer in the woods. Like I go deep into myself and I'm like, turn the lights off, leave me alone. But knowing that my husband was there and would and was standing in the gap to protect that experience for me transformed like every contraction for me. It transformed every surge, because with each one, I knew that I was just held, right? There was someone there to, you know, give me the things that I need nourishment-wise. That role is critical, really, because as you go through your pregnancy, your partner is there learning these things with you and becoming educated on the process with you, which is important. Because we think about birth, it is community. It's that birthing family. It's the birthing parents. Their role is critical. And I want to say, you know, for people that may not necessarily be in husband and wife role, or people that may be in non-binary roles, having someone there along with you, not just your partner, is... it's really critical. And it's sort of, when I think about this question, I think about the people that don't have that, and it sort of breaks my heart, right? But this is why we have to stress the idea of like community and seeking those things out and not being afraid to do so, because you deserve it. You deserve it, no matter your walk or your experience.
Yeah. I think that's important to touch on that. And it does, I couldn't imagine like going through the birth process without a partner. I couldn't imagine those first few weeks, first few days, yeah. First few hours at home without that. But it's funny that you say that your husband was kind of like a bystander, because I feel like my husband definitely wasn't. Like he was there kind of in the back until he didn't understand something, and he was very vocal about the things that he didn't understand. But you know what I didn't appreciate was that sometimes the doctors, and not just one of them, because I had two different sets for each pregnancy, it's like they didn't appreciate that. And I could see how the doulas do get pushback, or the midwives do get pushback, because they don't even really appreciate questions from anybody else. It's like if they've explained it once or barked it once, right, then that's just what it is. And that just solidified for me that there is a need for someone there. And whoever is there with you needs a deep awareness of every state of the process, because there are going to be a time where you are not going to be able to ask that question, are not going to be able to say much because you're going to be in pain or whatnot. And they need to understand what's happening. And we need to normalize the fact that partners or whoever's there has got to, they have to be a part of it. And that should be encouraged. That shouldn't be something that should be very difficult for people to you know, show up as, you know, the partner, the birth partner, the
And we find that that is traditionally the case in the medical setting. And, you know, as we go on and we progress and hospital by hospital, that changes a bit. I hope that that's not so much the case, but 100%, you know, when with my daughter, you know, my OB seemed kind of annoyed by the presence of my doula. And I made it very clear that I would have a doula present at our delivery. And there was, you know, a lot of smirking, as you said, a lot of like condescending energy that you get from that person. And, you know, I just want to say for the listeners, this is not to down talk or trash every OB ever, right? Because there are some wonderful OBs out there. But what comes with that wonderful OB and the experiences that they're able to offer birthing families is, as you said, that connection to intuition and really feeding that in the mother and understanding the value of, you know, whoever's on her team, understanding the role of their partner. Those, I think that those OBs that get it right are really able to do that. And for the ones that are not OBs of color, understanding, hey, I might be coming in with some unconscious bias that I need to check at the door so that this birthing parent, can not only, as I said at the top of the show, come through this alive and her and the baby come through alive, but thriving and whole and trauma-free.
Absolutely. Well, this has been absolutely splendid. I'm so glad that you were able to join me today. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts, sharing your education, sharing your experiencing with us. And we definitely have to have you back on the show. To all of our listeners, thank you so much for joining Lou and I for this special episode highlighting the Black maternal experience. Please go now over to IG, to Instagram, and follow Lou at Well Worth Watering, and DM her if you would be interested in having her highlight your birth experience on her blog. We're going to be hosting a very special edition of my Emotional Clarity Challenge during Black Breastfeeding Week, and that is August 25th through August 31st of this year. So go on over to lifeofanimpact.com to learn more and to sign up for this one-of-a-kind healing session packed with educational tips on lactation and connection through spirit and your emotions. Thanks, everybody. Talk soon.
Bye.
Thank you so much for spending time with me today. My hope is that you always consider me a resource for spiritual wisdom and all things soul level. Allow me to offer you some action steps that you can take right now to either start or deepen your own spiritual connection. Connect me to a friend or coworker or relative of yours that needs to hear this episode now. Send it over to them even if you've already told them all about how intuitive guidance can help and they haven't made their move yet. You can follow me at _lifeofanempath_ on Instagram and then send me a DM so that we can schedule some phone time for you ASAP so you can start a deeper journey for yourself. Or reach out to me and let me know you want to start the process of supporting the journey of another that wouldn't have access otherwise. You can schedule your initial consult by going to my website at lifeofanempath.com. Email me at Tanisha@lifeofanempath.com and let me know that you'd love for me to share insights like you've heard on the podcast at your organization, or you would like to explore the possibilities of scheduling ongoing group facilitated emotional clarity or declutter the mind sessions for your team as we move forward toward alignment as a global community. I can't wait to connect with you.